What's going on, Avalanche fans? I am so excited to get going here. I am so excited for the new season. I'm so excited for all the changes coming here at Mile High Sports into my coverage. And with that, I want to start with the first episode of Ringside with Arif Dean. So the podcast name is getting to change. The way that you will be viewing the podcast, both audio and video, and with a lot of live Twitter, YouTube, or whatever, X/Twitter and YouTube videos, I will be going live a heck of a lot more. There'll be a lot more shows. I love the new name, and I love the new way that we're going to be churning out this content for you guys here at Mile High Sports. So with that, let's get into Avalanche's training camp. It's September 18th today. The Avalanche are starting camp on ice tomorrow, the 19th. We just got done with media day, but I do want to start from the top, and we're going to start with that training camp roster. As we know, year after year, the Avalanche are really into PTOs. This year, they didn't quite go as big into those as usual, and I think that's because they probably signed a lot more guys than they thought, you know? After signing Calvin DeHaan and Erik Brännström, there could have been an opportunity for one more defenseman to come in on a PTO, but then we had that late signing for Oliver Shillington, and it just kind of offset that. So Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, an old friend, he's not going to wear the same number as before. He'll be number 78, which is what he wore in Seattle. He will be at training camp on a PTO. Interestingly, he's listed on the training camp roster that the Avalanche tweeted out as a left winger, but we all know P.E. Bellemare, Belly, as the fourth line center of the Avalanche team back in 2020 and 2021. And he's going to have an opportunity to get that role, but no other names really stick out. Obviously, you got guys like Oscar Alausen and Jean-Luc Foudy looking to make that next step. Sam Malinsky, you can, you know, lump him in with that group. Guys like Ivan and Jason Poland coming in for their second camp. I'm excited to see Sean Behrens, the defenseman from DU, have his first full opportunity to show this team what he's got. He'll obviously be likely an AHL guy for, if not a year, then if not more than a couple years, then I would say at least a year. But other than that, the Avalanche are ready to go. So the goaltending, obviously, Georgiev and Anninen. We have Kevin Mandelisi and Trent Miner are going to round out the top four, as well as Adam Scheel, who's an AHL contract guy coming into camp. The Avs have quite a bit of those. But other than that, I think this roster, if you guys saw it today, if you went over it, does not have any surprises. There is no Peter Holland trying to make a five-year comeback from retirement to playing the NHL or the AHL again. No surprises. We knew about the Bellemare tryout a few days ago, if not over a week ago now. Kind of losing track of days here. But the training camp roster is what it is, and the Avalanche get started Thursday, September 19th, and, you know, a little over 12 hours, they will be on the ice. Today, obviously, Wednesday, we just wrapped up media day, and I kind of want to get into a little bit of what we learned from media day. First, we spoke to Jared Bednar. Then we had Devon Taves and Nathan MacKinnon, followed by Cale Makar, paired with Jonathan Drouin. Gabe Landeskog did not speak today, which was a little surprising when I learned he wasn't going to speak, but I think it's for the best, because we know if Landeskog spoke today, he would have answered the same three or four or five questions that he always answers, asked by 20 of us media guys in 20 different ways. So some of the updates from today, starting with Jared Bednar. Arturi Lehkonen, as we know, he's been skating hard in those captain skates. We've seen Evan Rowell of Colorado Hockey Now doing a lot of those stops over at Family Sports, and he's been doing a lot of the coverage on the Avalanche that have been kind of gathering to skate here leading up to camp. And we knew that Arturi Lehkonen was going to miss some time to start camp, but we also knew that he was starting to ramp up a little bit. According to Jared Bednar, he's going to miss some time, probably camp and preseason. He's not going to be a full participant. I believe he said as soon as he's ready to take contact, we'll go from there. But no updates yet on when that's going to be. So no Arturi Lehkonen for training camp. Again, not a surprise. an even bigger, not a surprise, is the fact that Valeri Nichushkin, obviously still serving a suspension, 6 months. We are a little over 4 months now. And the Avalanche expect this guy back. And I'll get into that in a moment, because that, let's put a bookmark into the Val Nichushkin conversation, because as we know, that is one of the main talking points leading into this new season for the Avalanche. And then, of course, there's the captain, Gabe Landeskog. So what we heard from Jared Bednar about Landeskog and about Nichushkin, starting with Landeskog, he made it very clear that there's no updates there. And that's not a bad thing. I believe the quote that I tweeted out earlier is, no updates really on Gabe. I think the situation has been the same for quite some time. He's making a lot of big strides. There's a lot of hope there. It's kind of been the same for a while. He did go on to say that the team expects Gabe back. When one of the media members actually asked a question about not having Val and Arturi back for training camp and how it's different, and that media member even said something along the lines of, you're already used to not having Gabe. And I thought it was really interesting that Bednar went out of his way to say, this is not the same Gabe absence as usual, because we didn't replace him because we expect him back. And obviously, you read between the lines, we know what he's talking about. He's talking about the $7 million that Gabe Landeskog counts against the salary cap, and how the Avalanche did not use that extra money like they did last year. This year, they're keeping that money open. They're keeping it ready for Landeskog to be inserted back into the lineup. So he's not being LTIR'd, and his cap is going to be part of the Avalanche's plans. So that's where we are in Gabe Landeskog. He is expecting to be back some point during the season. When that is, we don't know. We'll get those updates as we go through here in camp, eventually preseason and the regular season. But I said this back earlier in the summer, and I'll say it again. I feel more confident now about Gabe Landeskog playing hockey again than I did even back in May when we spoke to him. And that in itself is a big step. There are a lot of insiders around the league that have heard similar things, that it is a matter of when, not if. And I think the Avalanche are ready to welcome back their captain with open arms. So on Gabe Landeskog, that's where it is. Val Nichushkin, according to Jared Bednar, there were comments made by quite a few guys, but I'll start with Jared. Jared mentioned that Val is a part of this team. He's someone they want back. And he reiterated many, many times, we know he's a great teammate. We know he's a hardworking player. My favorite sentence, we know he cares. But obviously, he went out of his way to also mention that he's got to get his head right. He's got to do what he needs to do to be a team player and stay out of trouble, he said with a smirk. He also was asked a nice question by one of the media guys, and I loved his answer when he said, time heals all wounds. That is the reality. You know, the Avalanche have a little bit of a different tone on September 18 before preseason, before an 82-game regular season, than they did back in May when speaking about Val Nichushkin, when in May he had just left the team down 2-1. Heading into game 4 against the Dallas Stars when you're one of the final 8 teams fighting for the Stanley Cup. So obviously the extra time it took over the offseason to not be in that playoff mode, the second year in a row without Gabe, without Val, has healed quite a few of the wounds. You know, we heard some of the comments last year. We heard Josh Manson. We heard Jack Johnson, who obviously for Jack is not part of this team anymore, went on to sign with the Columbus Blue Jackets. But the Avalanche are expecting Val back. Bednar did say that reports are that Val's doing well and he's making progress. He's going to look for updates from the league here soon on when Val can start skating. If he can, I believe the words he used were, if he can come in early and start skating on his own, or if he can start partaking in team practices. He still is looking for clarification on that, but it sounds to me like the Avalanche are ready to welcome him back with open arms. And that is exactly how Devon Taves explained it when he was asked about Val. He's our teammate. He's a strong player. one of the better players on the team. Everybody knows how valuable he is. Everybody knows how great a teammate, how great a player he is, and how important he was and how great he was playing. So Devon Taves did go out of his way to say that we will welcome this guy in with open arms when he's willing and able to. We want him to be happy, healthy, strong, and to be a good person. This team knows they have a guy in Val Nichushkin that you simply just can't replace. And I fully expected when we went through the offseason, one of the things I wrote about quite a bit, I haven't done this podcast since the night that Val Nichushkin was suspended back in May. But through my writing, I've communicated pretty well that early in the offseason, I would have pretty much said Val's played his last game in an Avalanche uniform. Back in May, there was no reality for me where you can expect Val Nichushkin back in this lineup. But here on September 18, it's kind of shifted what I feel about that. And I think it's also shifted for the team because as the summer went on, number one, the Avalanche did not find a way to terminate his contract, nor more importantly, did Val request to get his contract terminated. We saw Evgeny Kuznetsov, who's on the last year of a deal that pays him $7.8 million annually. We saw him terminate a contract where he was with the Carolina Hurricanes on a cup contending team and decided to go sign at the KHL. Now, he signed a 4-year deal on the K. I don't expect he's making 7.8 per year, but I do think that he decided he would take the 4-year deal, and knowing that he's got a long-term stable contract, the guarantee over one more year in the NHL, where if it doesn't go well for him, he's probably done here anyway. When I saw Kuznetsov do that, I wondered about Val, but Val doing what he did to stay away from any rumors of him terminating or actually considering a KHL deal said to me that this guy was going to be back. There was no way that this guy, who was born in 1995, is not even 30 years old, he's at the height of his powers, prime of his career, there was no way that Val Nichushkin was not going to play hockey again. That's number one. So for him to not try to escape and just go back to the KHL and go back home says to me he wanted to be back. You know, it's well documented that Val has had issues in the NHL, you know, when he played in Dallas, and really finding a place where he fits. He loves this team. This team loves him. He loves the community. He loves the city. We all know he lives in that Cherry Creek area. He loves that neighborhood. And it says to me that he wants to right the wrong, because when he got suspended a little over 4 months ago, it kind of felt like Val was going to ruin a really good thing for himself. But the team knows that he's a strong player and someone that they need back. And, you know, it kind of goes to what Nathan MacKinnon said about him, where MacKinnon went out of his way to say that we know he's going to come in great shape. We know that he's in his prime. We know he's an important player. Now, I do want to touch on a couple things. There was a question asked to Nate about what do you need to hear? Well, there was a question asked to Jared about Val coming back, and he mentioned something about how Val's going to have to address the team, and he's going to have to say, or he's going to address the team privately as he's welcomed back in. So one of the media members asked Nathan MacKinnon, what would you need to hear from Val in order to regain that trust, to know that this is somebody that you can have in the room? And he said nothing. He said, I don't need to hear anything. He obviously wants to see Val work his way back. He wants to see him do what he needs to do to get here. And then he went out of his way to say, we know Val's a hard worker. He's going to come in shape like he always is. He's going to come in ready to play at the prime of his career, playing as strong as he did before. So for MacKinnon, it's very straightforward, which not surprised at all that what he does on the ice and the actions are going to speak a hell of a lot longer, more than the words that Val says. Cale Makar was asked the question about how the last 3 years have unfolded. Now, three seasons ago, the Habs were cup champs, you know, and Val played a big part of that. And you can talk to Jared Bednar. You can talk to any player on that team, the ones that are still here and the ones that moved on, the Burakovskis, the Kadris, the Kempers, the Caglianos, the Obey Kubels. And the JT Compher's even, and Darren Helms, and every single one of them will tell you the same thing. In the series against the Tampa Bay Lightning, Val Nichushkin was the Avalanche's best player. That was 3 years ago. 2 years ago, the Avalanche lost to Seattle in Game 7 in a season where they didn't have a roster to really truly contend for a cup. But with Val Nichushkin, they at least get out of the first round. And I wholeheartedly believe that. And I bet every single one of them knows it too. And then this past season, they're down 2-1 against the Dallas Stars, a very pivotal, crucial Game 4 at Ball Arena. And that morning, it's announced that Val's out for 6 months. This past season was a year where the Avalanche did everything they can to be a team ready to contend for a cup. They went out and traded Byram for Mittelstadt. They added Sean Walker to replace the Byram role. They brought in Yakov Trenin. They brought in Brandon Duhaime. They brought in Zach Parise earlier in the year. They figured out the goaltending situation with Justus Annan and gave Georgiev a lot of more nights off. They got healthy. They had the MVP in Nathan MacKinnon. They had everything going to make a run. And then the Val Nichushkin situation, it doesn't guarantee they would have beat the Dallas Stars, but it sure as hell didn't help. So Kale was asked, given the way these last three seasons have unfolded, can this team win a Stanley Cup without Val Nichushkin? And I loved his answer because he both spoke highly about the player that Val is and how important he is. But he said something that you want to hear any leader saying. He said that I would imagine that if myself or if Nate were taken off of this roster, that this team could still contend. And it is just it's quite the reminder that no one player is bigger than the team, but you got to stick together. You got to have that locker room chemistry. You got to have that brotherhood. And that's what the Avs had in 2022. And they have that with Val. It's just, it's up to him to not mess it up again, because we all know that this might be his last opportunity, not just with the Avalanche, but in the NHL in general. So in hopes of not letting the Val Nichushkin thing kind of hijack another podcast, let's move on to other things that we learned from camp. Jared Bednar is not against playing the kids if the kids are in a role. And the one he was speaking about was the 19-year-old kid that we're all excited to see, and that's Callum Ritchie. I've heard NHL insiders talk about how they think this kid's going to make the team. Cal Ritchie, if you don't know the way the NHL has this agreement with the junior hockey leagues, the CHL, the OHL, the WHL, the QMJHL, at the age Cal Ritchie is at, he does not have the ability to play in the American Hockey League, which is probably where he's best suited right this moment. Because of that, Cal's got two choices. Make the NHL or go back to the OHL where you dominated a season ago and dominate again. Unfortunately, that's his reality. So he's going to be working, especially without Lehkonen, without Val, without Gabe Landeskog, and without Gabe Landeskog's money being used, as Jared Bednar referenced, on a replacement to play in that Landeskog role. Callum's got a big shot to make this roster. And Jared Bednar is not against playing the kids. He obviously did mention there will be growing pains, but if the kid earns the spot, he earns the spot. And I think that's ultimately the way you want to see camp shake out. There's going to be a lot of competition. Jean-Luc Foudy, Oscar Olausson, these are guys looking for full-time roles. Ivan, Chris Wagner, now Pierre-Edward Belmar. People are looking at that 4C role and looking to really make an impact there. Nikolai Kovalenko, he only came in for a couple games and played 4, 5, 6 minutes, had a couple turnovers. And Jared said, you're sitting until next year. Understandably so, because he was new to the team and new to the NHL and new to the country. So, obviously from when he was a kid, when he left to Russia at a young age, that there's a lot of guys that are going to be fighting for positions. One of them will be Cal Ritchie to watch. And I'm so excited to see what this kid can do, because the Avalanche, they really got lucky with drafting this guy 27th overall in the 2023 draft. And, he's turned around his career quite a bit after having that injury riddled year and the issues that he dealt with, the health issues he dealt with in that 22-23 season. We also learned from Jared Bednar, that, obviously we do know there are some roles open on the penalty kill. Gone are the days of Andrew Cogliano. We're going to miss him dearly. We're going to miss him in the room. We're going to miss his work ethic, his professionalism, his hardworking play, and also the fact that he was pretty much the captain of that PK for the Avs for so many years. Logan O'Connor is ultimately going to take over that role. Eventually, Lekkonen and Val will both be big parts of the PK, assuming they're both back. Gabe Landeskog's played on the penalty kill quite a bit as well. But in the meantime, Miles Wood's a PK guy and really good one at that. The Avalanche gave him a ton of opportunity last year. And Logan O'Connor is going to captain it. But you got a couple guys in Ross Colton and Casey Mittelstadt that Jared singled out. He was asked about Ross Colton, who he gave a lot of PK time to early last season. And he said he's going to go back to that. But then Jared went out of his way to mention Casey Mittelstadt as a player that he sees that can play on the PK to add a couple minutes to his ice time. So we're going to see the Avs, like last year with Miles Wood and Ross Colton, we're going to see him try out some new guys on the PK, this time with Ross Colton and Casey Mittelstadt. So I'm really pumped to see what happens there. Again, it's going to be a new look team. You know, P.E. Belmar, if he makes the team, he'll be playing on the PK. Parker Kelly is a guy we haven't spoken much about, but that's a guy that I expect if he makes the team, he's going to get an opportunity on the PK. So there will be a lot of competition in all parts of the lineup, and that includes special teams for something like the penalty kill. So those were ultimately the big highlights from Jared Bednar, the big things that we heard from Makar, McKinnon, Taves. The last person we heard from was Jonathan Drouin. And I thought it was really great what he said. John went all in on how much he loves Denver, how much his family loves Denver, how much he loves the team, and how, you know, he just wanted to get something done. And we all saw him take a very cheap contract again, $2.5 million. And depending on what happens with Landeskog and Lekkonen and Nichushkin, Drouin's role with this team, especially with Landeskog, is going to change quite a bit if all these guys get healthy and are back. But in the meantime, he's excited to be here for at least one more year. And we all know it's kind of the not so hidden secret from his agent, Alan Walsh, that the Avalanche are going to revisit an extension with him early in 2025. He's not eligible to sign anything until January 1st. And, with the Val situation, with the Landeskog situation, they figured it would be better to sign a one-year deal, kick the can down the road, and see what happens with this team. Because ultimately, if Landeskog and Lekkonen and Rantanen, obviously Rantanen has to sign a contract, but if Landeskog and Lekkonen and Rantanen and Nichushkin are all healthy, they're all in the prime of their careers, if Landeskog's back and playing the way Landeskog plays, those are your top six wingers. And your top six centers are McKinnon and Mittelstadt. Jonathan Drouin becomes the next best guy. He becomes the Andre Burakovsky, or he becomes the top six guy, and Landeskog becomes a permanent third liner, given, you know, he's coming off this injury. Maybe he's not the same player he was before, but he's a notch below that. So they felt it was better to kick the can down the road to see what happens between now and January and between now and July 1st of 2025. To see where he fits on this team and what his role could be and adjust accordingly in terms of a contract, because we know Drouin wants to be here. So those were the highlights of today's media day. Those were the four players and Jared Bednar. Those are the five guys we spoke with. I am so excited to get started. I do want to actually shout out Kale Makar. He started, he was asked his first question, and before answering it, he took a second to offer his condolences to the Goudreau family, to Johnny Goudreau and Matthew Goudreau. Obviously Kale's a kid from Calgary, and he was drafted in 2017. Johnny Goudreau was playing in the NHL in 2014. So he spoke about watching him play, the awful tragedy and how it's impacted the hockey world. So Kale Makar is all class. I obviously want to offer my condolences to the Goudreau family as well. I'm excited for the season to get started, but opening night at home, I should say, the home opener will probably be very heavy, given that the Avalanche are hosting the Columbus Blue Jackets, and it's a team that is grieving the loss of, let's call it what it is, their best player, their superstar, at the age of 30, 31, I should say, at the height of his powers. So it's going to be tough to kind of get through that night. We know it's going to be an emotional night at Ball Arena. It's going to be an emotional season for the Columbus Blue Jackets. But I loved that Kale Makar took a second to do that today. But without doing the weird transition from such a terrible thing to talk about a tragedy back to hockey. I'm so excited for tomorrow. I'm so excited for this season. I got a lot of cool things coming with my coverage that I'm going to announce here in the next couple of days, but it starts with this. It starts with this new podcast. You know, JJ and I, we did something for 5 years, 4 years, I should say, that was so wonderful. But as many of you listeners are going to remind me, and you do in my DMs and in my tweets and even emails, every single chance you get, the podcast took a big dip last year. But we're coming back, and we're coming back strong. There's a lot of confidence in my ability to do this by myself now that I probably didn't have a year ago. So catch me here 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe even 7 times a week. I'll be live on Twitter. There'll be shorter episodes, less conversation, more be blabbing about what I feel this team needs and how they're doing, trades. We'll have some fun. We'll have some guests on. We'll have a lot of fun with this. But it's Ringside with Arif Dean, and presented by Mile High Sports. We'll talk to you guys after training camp. See you later.